So, Dr. Nosley, why don't you head off on
that? Yeah, thank you. I do agree that Dr. Lombano showed compassion, thoroughness, in some cases went above and beyond, was very concerned about this dog between appointments when she wasn't there. I find all those things very commendable. The summary of the case is a week after the possibility of a linear foreign body was discussed that we had surgery. And that delay turned out to have major complications for CRISPR. The 8-9 visit is key here regarding the string and cutting it off the butt and the large amount still in CRISPR. I found the complainant very credible. I believe that she was concerned about this string from when she first discovered it, and I believe she was trying to communicate that. There definitely was a major difference in the interpretations of that communication during that visit. I guess the crux of it for me is I question on 8-9, why not explore? You had three things going on here. You had the symptoms, you had the history, the owner saying, I think there's ingestion of foreign body regardless of whether it was emphasized the way she said or not. And key, we had a painful abdomen. So I would say at that point in time when you're not sure, of course, you would take the radiographs. I wonder why a barium series, which I think has kind of fallen out of favor here, and we just go directly to ultrasound. I think that would have been a really good idea if you're concerned, especially with delay in getting an abdominal ultrasound. There is another thing you could have done at that point to speed up the process here. Linear foreign bodies are different than obstructions. Linear foreign bodies are when the body is trying to move something through the bowel, and then when it's incapable of doing that, it starts binding up, sawing through, causing a lot of problems, which it eventually did. Now, we had an intussusception, now we have an obstruction. Very straightforward. Radiographs done, obstruction. At this point, it doesn't matter whether it's a string or what it is, we gotta go in there. Okay, but prior to that, with linear foreign bodies, you can often, and in my experience, very often, have negative radiographic findings. Until that string does something in there to create damage, you're not going to know that it's doing what it's doing. And waiting is not the approach, in my opinion. I respectfully, therefore, disagree with the respondent when she states that surgery would have been inappropriate and possibly malpractice at that time. Exploratory surgery is a very underutilized tool in veterinary medicine. We should be exploring things more. I had a professor tell me one time, if you're not getting negative exploratories, you're not managing all your cases properly. Because the alternative is what exactly happened. Negative exploratory is okay, again, because of that alternative. Sure, we don't want to just jump into surgery. There are risks involved, but you have to look at the whole case. And again, this dog had a possible string, painful abdomen. Take x-rays. I didn't see anything, but I'm going in there. My personal experience, I have had many times when I was faced with this where I could not prove on imaging that there was a foreign body in there, but I was highly suspicious of it, and if it was linear especially, I went in there and sometimes found the linear foreign body and removed it, and on occasion, there wasn't one. I've had associates ask me that question. I'm really nervous that there's something in this dog. I don't want to wait. Do you think I should go in there? And my answer is always, let's look at the total case, the risk benefit. I think we should. And sometimes we didn't find it. It's a perfectly acceptable thing to do exploratory and then have a negative finding. As far as the abdominal ultrasound goes, sure, that could be a next step. With significant delays, Dr. Lombana got that more quickly than it would have otherwise, but at the time, on the 9th, she didn't know she was going to be able to get it in 2 days, and I would maintain that with a linear foreign body, 2 days can be a long time. But I commend her for getting it done then, but in my opinion, that was too little too late. There was confusion about the history regarding the abdominal ultrasound, conflicting statements in regarding the history. Dr. Merker, the radiologist, the ultrasound tech, are we looking for this? I don't believe that if this linear foreign body is not already causing the damage, that it would have been seen in the ultrasound anyway. You don't see string generally. You see what that string might be doing, and that probably hadn't happened yet on the ultrasound. It's clear that Dr. Merker was unaware when she was giving the report to the owner that there was anything about a string. She acted very surprised that there was a history of string. So there's no history of foreign body ingestion on the ultrasound report. On the records it says, what is your reason for today's visit on that ultrasound? Answer, ultrasound, 8, sewing string. And then when the clinic had a discussion about this and the issues, they offered to reimburse the owner for the surgery only if she would sign a release and hold everybody harmless. The mentions of the string by the complainant were numerous on 8-5, on 8-9, twice on 8-12. I believe that surgical exploration should have been proceeded with in a timely manner, and because of that delay, then we had major complications in the case. I know that's wordy, sorry.
That's okay.
I think it's important to clarify those things though, because, you know, I do feel like Dr. Lamana did work through the case. I mean, as far as she took next steps that were appropriate. But with linear foreign bodies, and I would say the same thing, you can get a negative x-ray or you can get a negative ultrasound and not be able to rule out that there's not still a linear foreign body.
Right.
And I guess that's what the struggle is, right? Is do you recommend these additional diagnostics that cost significant money to owners when you know that the answer might be we don't see evidence of a foreign body and there might still be a foreign body? Right? You're not getting a black and white answer. You're getting, we don't see evidence of it, but it doesn't mean it's not there. So for owners that don't want to do surgery, the dog's not a surgical candidate, maybe those are diagnostics you would pursue earlier. But I think sometimes, you know, to your point, if you know the test isn't going to confirm whether it's there or not, and you know surgery is, maybe we need to take that step and go a little bit faster to surgery. It's a big topic right now amongst the veterinary community too, because I think we've, different from, you know, 20 years ago, we have all these diagnostics that are accessible to us that owners can get that we didn't have 20 years ago. And if this had been 20 years ago, we would have taken that dog to surgery, no doubt. Like I 100% believe that dog would have gone to surgery on the 9th. But students, veterinary students, I don't think are being taught that way anymore, because they do have the opportunity to do these additional diagnostics, but sometimes that becomes a hindrance when you know that the answer, even if it doesn't show anything, is not ruling out that problem.
Plus we have the issue of the delay.
You have the delay.
Well, and you bring up a very good point. That's what I was going to say, too, is veterinary medicine, unfortunately, has changed a lot from when we graduated and been practicing.
Changed more for me than you.
No, it's not that. But, I was in a, we'll call it a discussion, with another newer graduate recently about them claiming that a CT scan was a minimum standard of care. And so, unfortunately, we are in this really weird paradigm shift of the industry has been pushing for massive changes to equal the human side while still dragging along what the art and practice of veterinary medicine is supposed to be. But these new students, these are just students in general, and I noticed it when I was in school, and that was in 2008 that I graduated, they're being taught to do more and more diagnoses, to do these tests, to do this, and to rely on these things. And unfortunately, I think that's a failing of our education system, not of the individual vet themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're taught, you better do this or you're gonna get sued, and that's exactly what they're told in school constantly, it's hard not mm-hmm. to do that. And I agree. I think I learned in school that a abdominal exploratory is still the gold standard diagnostic test. It still is. It's very invasive, yes. But unless you can get your eyes and hands on, not your eyes on, but unless you can see what's happening and get your hands feeling what's going on inside there, mm-hmm. you're interpreting black and white images mm-hmm. on a screen and saying, well, it probably looks like this. So it's really hard. I can't necessarily fault the veterinarian for not jumping straight to a surgery. And we did the diagnostic tests, which we harp on, you need to do more and more and more testing, and the test came back non-diagnostic for anything linear foreign body, or no placation, no nothing going on. So it's really difficult for me to say that something was truly missed. I mean, this is unfortunately something we're going to come into more and more and more, and it likens back to a friend that I had that had a colonoscopy done. Everything was totally fine, and ended up dying 3 months later of metastatic colon cancer because it was actually on the outside of the colon and it spread to the rest of the body. Testing was done. Everything looked fine. And is that the fault of the doctor or not? I mean, so it's really, really hard in these cases to say, yes, the doctor's at fault. Was abdominal exploratory surgery a good option? Yeah, I think so. But does that mean that x-rays and ultrasounds and these were bad options? I don't think so. So it's really putting me between a rock and a hard place of, is this actually an issue or is this an unfortunate outcome? Because there are no guarantees in medicine. Absolutely, no guarantees. I mean, we could be doing all these tests. We could have gone in that same day, taken a string out, and there's no problems, and the dog still got some kind of weird septicemia and died. Okay. So, I mean, just because we found it earlier didn't mean that we would not come to the same outcome. So it's really hard for me to say that there's a massive, massive violation. Are there concerns? Are there things I think could have been done better? Yes. But does that rise to the violation issue? That's where it's sticking with me.
I think part of my question, and in Dr. Nozzle, you hit it earlier, is in talking about barium series, right? Like, mm-hmm. just because we have diagnostics available, we need to make sure that we're using the right modality. Like, we know if we have a linear foreign body, like, are we really going to see that on an ultrasound versus if we pass some barium, it adheres to that soft structure that's in there. Like, so trying to think of what the next step is, not just that because, we have the availability of this test, let's do it. So I think that to me is a little bit of a concern, and maybe just the approach. To your point, yeah. I mean, we could have ended up in the exact same, if it was in there from 2 weeks or a month prior to when the first initial presentation was, we may have ended up in the same boat. But it's just to better prepare ourselves for cases in the future, right? A learning experience. You know, what should we do if we got into this situation again?
And I would like to say barium series, I do agree. I have not seen a barium series probably since school. I mean, it's not been done. And even in school, they were like, yeah, these are things that can be done, but they're kind of falling by the wayside because we have better diagnostic tests now. So again, in 14 years of practice, my guess is that message in school has really advanced into, do you do a $1,200 to $1,500 test, or can you do a $600 ultrasound instead and still get the same or better results, which I know that's being taught. So there's just a lot of things. Yeah, it's I think, unfortunately, the art of medicine is being lost because it's being replaced with, we need to go to a human standard, and that's going to lead to a lot of problems in the future in veterinary medicine because, again, cost, it just gets in there.
I was going to say, I remember a former board member who was an ER vet that talked about practicing defensive medicine these days, mm-hmm. and she was, you know, like, mm-hmm. that's just kind of the fear now is, you know, getting taken to the board for, you know, authorizing something that maybe didn't, you know, didn't result in yeah. something, and so I just remember that stuck with me. Is,
and it's unfounded fear. Yeah, it's veterinarians, it's the industry saying, do this or you're going to get sued. And is it the reps that are coming in selling these diagnostic pieces of equipment saying, you have to do this because this is the now new standard, and we're being scared into, oh, well, we better be doing this or I'm going to get sued by someone. Right. There's a lot of bad things happening in a lot of different portions of the industry, and unfortunately, both veterinarians and clients and animals are suffering for it. So, yeah, it's really... really hard, but again, with the diagnostic testing that's done, I think that was appropriate testing too. Again, could other things have been done? In hindsight, yeah, but in, we can say that in any case, but looking for it from not knowing the knowledge of what we have today, if you're going from day by day by day, I don't see problems with what's going on here. I mean, an 8-year-old German Shepherd, maybe there's some kind of malabsorptive, maldigestive issue that's occurring. Do we have some kind of EPI that's finally developing and that's causing a lot of these GI signs? Well, maybe.
Well, that's
and an exploratory
where I
surgery
like,
good for that. Not
yeah,
necessarily.
Yeah, but that's where I don't feel like the tests were wrong because no. she wasn't 100%, she is in the veterinarian, was not 100%. Convinced this was a foreign body, yeah. right? You're still looking for, could there be something else? And your x-rays and your ultrasound may have shown you that, right? Like, they mm-hmm. may have been like, oh,
and
here's
in hindsight,
the problem, right?
Giving you more information.
The problem yeah. is that they didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't show anything else. You still had a dog that was clinical, and mm-hmm. you know that those diagnostic tests cannot rule out a linear foreign body.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So you have to go back to, I didn't find anything else. The dog's still clinical. I can't rule out a linear foreign body with an x-ray and an ultrasound. How can I rule it out? Which is, this dog needs to go to surgery.
Yeah, I agree.
Or referrals.
And
again, but I mean, because you can refer. You can be like, I'm not comfortable doing it at Belmore Explorer. I want to refer this out. That's fine, too.
But we didn't have a discussion of, well, imaging may not show this. Mm-hmm. And...
yeah.
surgery is an option.
Yeah,
I agree with what you're saying about the state of veterinary medicine, but a lot of what we do is also intuitive.
Oh yeah.
I've got a problem here, and I can't come to a conclusion. What would bring me to a conclusion that would be in the best interest of this patient, and I maintain it at least after the negative abdominal ultrasound. To your point, Dr. Thompson, the other thing you would be looking for with barium is plication. You may not see this string hang out. And sometimes that's really hard to see on a flat, on a regular radiograph. But to your point, I don't think we can say, well, it's the fault of the schools and the way they're being taught, so we're gonna throw out all intuition.
I agree.
We're not going to look at the circumstance in this individual case and excuse the fact, like Dr. Jane said, that that would have been something to bring it to a conclusion. I'm in total agreement with you about the way they're being
taught. Well, and I agree with you, but I think it would be a different story if there was evidence of a linear body on the x-ray and ultrasound and we just missed it. If there was blood work that shows that the liver is completely failing or we have a low platelet count and we still went into surgery and now we bled to death. I mean, if we missed something that was obviously there, I mm-hmm. think that's a different story.
Then
these came up as non-diagnostic, or at least everything looks fine. So it's hard to fault them by saying, well, everything was fine, now we got to cut. I mean, yeah, it's also a good option, but it's not a bad option to not. I mean,
that might have had a totally different outcome.
Possibly, we never know. But
well,
I mean,
the diagnostics almost led her astray, though. Because
everything
was coming back negative.
And that's part
so
of the goal.
So now she's like, I have less reason to go to surgery mm-hmm. on the 12th than what I had on the 9th. Because I now have these other tests that are telling me, I don't see that. I don't see evidence of that.
But none of those other things changed.
Right, and you have to go back to, you can't, and maybe, you know, maybe that needs to be in the ultrasound report. You cannot rule out a linear foreign body on an ultrasound.
Yeah.
Right.
No evidence of it was seen. That doesn't mean it's not there. Like, that's where I keep going back to,
your diagnostic tests weren't wrong. You could have found something. You could have found something different. But at the end of the day, you didn't find anything else, and this can't rule out what you were originally looking for.
Well, and it's tough, because then if you've gone to surgery, you talk about going into doing exploratory and finding nothing, and perhaps some pet owners would say, okay, well, that's a great thing. I don't mind paying, you know, $1,200 for you to have found nothing. But certainly there's, you know, the flip side of people saying, I just paid what bill for you to tell me that you have no idea?
Well, I think that's a communication issue. If you're talking to a client and explain to them, here's why I'm doing exploratory, and I might not find this, but the alternative is not good. Most of them are grateful at the point, I didn't find anything.
I wouldn't say that. They're grateful until they get that $2,700.
Right, exactly.
Then they're like, why is this so much? Well, you didn't find anything.
We give estimates.
So I've been there. I will not say they're happy.
We give estimates prior.
No, that's true. Well, that doesn't change anything.
They might not
still
be happy about it, but I would say if it became before the board and all that was in there, we would have been like, that was okay. That's what you should have done.
Without that, is this still okay or no? I guess that's the question. I mean, yes, there's a lot of things that could have been done, but is just going in and, or are we saying that there's a true violation because we did not just immediately go in and do a abdominal explore? Yeah, it's a good diagnostic test, but it's another diagnostic test. Ultimately, it's a diagnostic test. That's what we're saying, is that wasn't done as a diagnostic test, but these diagnostic tests were, and they were inconclusive.
So, which is the next test you go? It's like, then you have to go to something else.
But, well, we're
you
just
don't
talking
just
about
get a, to the end and then go,
but we're just talking about a barium study. So let's say we do a barium study, now we push it off by another 3 days while it's getting interpreted, and now the dog dies. Well, was that our fault for not going to surgery at that point by relying on another diagnostic test that could have shown us something?
I've never seen a barium take 3 days.
Yeah. Oh, interpretation and x-rays right now are taking forever.
Yeah. But the interpretation could be
I could have done that in-house.
I send everything off in radiology anymore because of liability issues. I will look in hospital, but I'm not relying on anything.
Absolutely, but you might make a determination to pursue something based on what you might.
But that's a
violation. Can we say there's a violation around a mic?
Because we keep adding on charges that people can't pay.
But that's an industry issue.
You know, that, and yeah, we don't need to go into all of that. I mean, I think the question here is, do we feel that this dog should have been taken to surgery prior to when it was? I mean, really, that's the question.
Do we think about it right now or in that moment, on that day, do we think that there was a problem? Yeah. I mean, in this moment today, I can say today, that dog should have been taken in day one.
Right, but was the conversation had with the owner? This is part of our potential plan, right? Like, we can go one of a couple of ways. You know, we did the x-rays, we're not seeing anything. Well, now here we're left at a point, you're concerned about a linear foreign body. The best, the ideal way to look at that would be surgery. Was that a discussion? And
the owner said, if I heard correctly, no.
Okay, so like, so then that kind of,
veterinarian, I don't know.
Yeah, that lends to like that decision-making process, right? That should have been something that should have been put out there as an option, and not just relying on the diagnostic testing, but the way to definitively determine whether or not there is something there.
I know you had a question.
Yeah, because like you just got to jump in. You're being polite. We just interrupt.
Yeah, but then that comes into the whole referral option. I mean, we were talking about referral, and then there's some financial issues that this side is saying no, there isn't any issue. We'll do anything we can. The other side saying there's some financial issues with referrals. So I mean, that's an option too. Is saying, look, we got to refer this. I mean, that's actually in statute.
If there was awareness of the linear object, the embroidery thread, prior to the ultrasound, which apparently there was, and we know that an ultrasound can't detect necessarily a linear object.
I would say doesn't always. I would say can't.
Yeah.
Well, it can't detect if we're in the stage before damage occurs. Once damage occurs, the ultrasound
You can see the damage, but you're not going to
come up with any kind of result unless there's actually a result to see. So until there's an issue, any test is negative.
We have a negative finding, but we, like Dr. J said, we have to do something.
What I question as a non-veterinarian is, we're doing a diagnostic that what we suspect. It won't give us any determination on what we suspect being a linear object was ingested, but the ultrasound won't necessarily confirm or deny that.
No test can have a guaranteed answer before we do it, though. So, I mean, I don't think that's a good way of looking
but
at
is
it.
But you do, like, you do a right, no, I hear what you're saying, but you do a biopsy to find out what, you biopsy something on your arm to determine what it is. It's not going to tell you what's on your leg.
Yeah.
That was kind of my point in a layperson's.
I think the veterinarian was not convinced this was a foreign body. And she was looking for other causes that might potentially cause vomiting and diarrhea, which ultrasound is a great tool for, right? It's a great tool. I have no problems with her doing the ultrasound. And she wasn't convinced it was a foreign body, which at that point, it's fine.
I would have less problems with her with the ultrasound if it could have been done that day. That would have helped a lot.
Now, yeah, that's out of the doctor's hands, too.
It is out of the doctor's
hands. So we're going to a really dangerous road right there.
Yeah.
Very dangerous road. So when
we put it all together, again, we have these negative findings, and yet we haven't resolved anything with the dog. So that's
important. I mean, some cases, it's a month or more of testing on things. I mean, that's something I've seen before,
right?
Especially like things like valley fever or whatnot. So, I mean, so like I said, I think we're going into this saying, oh, this is the answer, we should have caught this, as opposed to putting ourselves in that moment saying, is this an appropriate diagnostic step? And is this diagnostic ladder stable? And I think it is. It's just an unfortunate outcome. I mean, that's the long and the short of it.
And then with the history, this comes back to the he said, she said, she said, which is critically important in this case. On one side, we said, no, there was no comments, no talk about anything about the string being cut, the string being, and we have the complainant, because that seems to be her focus. It's hard to say she didn't, on many occasions, expressly say, this is what I'm worried about. I fall to my own experience. Yeah. If I had an owner telling me that,
it's possible, but it also goes back to
doing surgery.
But it also goes back to testimony of, I couldn't get into an emergency clinic. Well, did you call them? No, but previously I'd been told that I couldn't get in. Well, that's different than calling right now.
Right.
So it's very difficult. This is a very hard case, but looking in that moment, did that doctor do something wrong? And following the diagnostic steps, I don't think they did. And that's the crux of it for me, is if we're saying these tests were not conclusive and you're still at fault for this, that's hard, because now it's putting us, again, in a very bad situation of, does every test have to have a guaranteed answer?
If she sent off a coagulation panel
on this, then I would say that's a wrong diagnostic test. But because we did x-rays and ultrasound, that's not the wrong diagnostic test.
If I let on that that's what I was intending, I did not intend that. I think the tests were done, and I think the tests were fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think ultimately, we didn't get an answer. We still didn't know what was doing it. And at that point, the dog should have gone to surgery. And 4 days later, it goes to another facility and goes to surgery. That's where I have an issue with it. We didn't figure out what was going on. And we knew I guess because we've had so much debate about it, because I think the cases that we have this much debate about usually are the ones that are the hardest. They're not clear cut. And
absolutely.
Maybe in this, you know, I would be leaning towards, at a minimum, a letter of concern for not discussing surgery if it wasn't discussed. And again, that's a he said, she said in many cases, but not emphasizing that was an option that could have gotten us to the answer a lot quicker.
Mr. Chairman, I think Victoria has comments.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I was going to suggest, since we've had such a lengthy conversation, it's time for someone to make a motion.
Okay. Let's try this. I'll make a motion then. make a motion that we find a violation under ARS 3222-3211, gross negligence for failure to recognize the need for surgical intervention resulting in a delay that led to major complications in the patient's care.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All right, we'll do a roll call vote on that.
Ms. Krieger?
Nay.
Ms. Frost?
Nay.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Nay.
I counted 4 yeses, 3 noes.
Okay.
So the motion passes.
All right. Okay, the board has voted to find a violation in case 2255. At next month's meeting, the board will consider adopting proposed findings and facts and conclusions of law, and after doing so, we'll then discuss and adopt disciplinary action. If you have any questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. This concludes this informal interview. Thank you. Okay. So now we have our 11:30.
We're going to disconnect, Dr. Lund.
Oh, sorry, we got to disconnect.